We're back on the roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. Snake Eyes may come to a Seminole casino. The Greyhounds may stop racing and a new casino may open in Miami-Dade. Now, this is all packed into gambling legislation being debated in Tallahassee. The Florida House and Senate and their negotiators are working through a bill that represents the largest expansion of gambling in Florida in years. It also represents billions of dollars of revenue for the state and is a huge issue remaining in the final days of the legislative session, which is due to end in 1 week. Is another casino a good bet in South Florida? Are more games the right way to go? Or does gambling come at too high of a price? Join the conversation at 800-743-WLRN. You can call us now. The lines are open. 800-743-9576. We got some texts for some audience members. Marsha in the Dadeland area of Miami saying no, but they will keep asking till they get enough interest to vote yes on gambling. That's how we get casinos here in the first place. Vivian in Miami, her answer, yes. With this simple equation, more business, more money. Doug Hanks covering the Miami-Dade County government for our partner, the Miami Herald, is still with us. And from WFSU News in Tallahassee, our sister station in the capital city, Regan McCarthy is along with us. Derek Hamm also with us from Tallahassee, reporter for our partner, News Service of Florida. Regan, let's begin with you. How does this bill change the gambling industry in Florida if it becomes law?
Well, I think one thing to remember here is that, as you mentioned, this process is still very fluid right now. So you talked about the members in the House and members in the Senate negotiating sort of between two bills that they have, trying to find middle ground and compromise. So just looking at where they are right now and what this could mean for the industry, I think it would mean more. So more games for the Seminole Indian tribe. It looks like the negotiations right now would allow the tribe to have craps and roulette. It would likely mean more casinos, one or two casinos in the Miami-Dade and Broward area. And it would likely mean decoupling. It looks like that's an issue where the two sides are coming to an agreement. And decoupling, of course, is the idea of letting paramutual facilities continue to offer card rooms, other types of gaming, but not keeping a requirement for them to hold a certain number of live races.
Yeah, we call them paramutuals, but let's call them racetracks. That's what they are, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so that's Greyhound tracks, horse tracks, high life facilities, right. Things like that.
Yeah, good. High life facilities, obviously not racetracks, but right, yeah. Dara Cam with News Service of Florida with us via Skype. Why the proposed expansion now? Gambling bills over the past several legislative sessions have not gotten as much traction as this negotiation seems to have.
Well, the pressure's on them now as a result of several court decisions, especially one involving the Seminole tribe. If you remember, the Seminoles had an agreement with the state that allowed them to have the exclusive rights to operate banked card games, such as blackjack, very popular for the Seminoles and very lucrative. That agreement expired in 2015. The Seminole, short version, Seminoles sued the state, won. They're still allowed to offer the banked card games. They want this cleared up out of court, as does the state. And, you know, the argument for the legislators is that they want to do this in order to create certainty for the paramutual industry, which is actually a valid argument. I mean, the paramutuals, they need to know what is going to happen and what's going to be down the road. The racetracks and the high life.
There you go. Right, right, right. You speak gambling and gaming industry. We'll decipher it down here.
I only call it gambling. I don't play that game.
Yeah, no, right. Literally gaming versus gambling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doug, how about it? The players, if there's another casino license, if there's a casino license in Miami-Dade County, who's in the market for it? Where could it go?
Well, I mean, Genting, right? Genting bought the Miami Herald building right next to us. Widely considered one of the most valuable pieces of land in Florida, on the water, downtown Miami. It was relatively embraced in the beginning during a big economic crisis. Like, there's been pretty gradual pushback against it now. But I was speaking to a big Genting bigwig before the session. They said that Speaker Corcoran had told them this was going to happen.
That gambling was going to happen. Expansion was going to happen.
He's going to get something through. And they said, remember? Yeah. I was told to me. He said, yeah, I remember.
So, Regan, how about it? Is this among those top priorities for the top Republican in the Florida House to push it through in the final weeks?
Well, I think, as Dara mentioned, I think that the lawmakers are really feeling this push to do something. You know, I think there has been this balance of a lot of lawmakers don't want to see a gambling expansion. They like to maintain this family-friendly you know, personality for our state. But I think that they are feeling this pressure from the courts to do something, because if they don't, then a lot of the decisions and the direction that the state will take as far as gambling will be decided by those court cases. So it's getting to sort of a now or never point.
What is, Dara, the state of the relationship between the state and the Seminole tribe regarding gambling? The compact that funneled hundreds of millions of dollars into the state, we know, expired, or a portion of it expired a couple of years ago.
That's right. That portion that required the where the Seminoles guaranteed to pay the state $1 billion over 5 years for the exclusive rights for the card games, the banked card games, that expired in 2015. They are still putting that money into an account, mm-hmm. and so the state, it's somewhere out there, that money, the Seminoles are still paying it to the state. The state's not using it. The state gets about $120 million a year from slot machines, but the Seminoles want, they want craps and roulette, but they want that, but perhaps not as much as they want to make sure that they contain what happens with the expansion of slot machines.
Yeah, so this is the give and the take, right? Is the Seminole tribe willing to not take craps and roulette if the state can guarantee that no other players will get into the blackjack game, for instance?
And then we get to the issue of this court case that the Supreme Court hasn't ruled on yet. And I think, and that is involving a small horse track up here in Gretna, mm-hmm. whether the counties that have approved slot machines, where voters have approved slot machines, whether tracks can add the slots in those counties without the legislature giving them the express permission to do so. And I think one of the things that is changed this year, and I've been covering this for many years, I covered it when they signed the first compact back in 2010. One of the things that's changed this year is you've got 8 counties around the state where voters have approved slot machines. And they're in rural counties, Hamilton County, Gadsden County, Washington County, also bigger counties, Palm Beach,
St.
Lucie, over there on the West Coast. And so the issue becomes, now you have a lot of Republican House members that have been in previous years very averse to approving any kind of gambling expansion. But, oh, wait a minute, their guys back home have voted for
the,
it.
The voters have spoken, and, yeah.
Exactly.
Which is exactly the comment here on line 2. Ray in Miami is on the telephone. Ray, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Your thoughts on the voice of voters when it comes to gambling?
Well, I think we've voted repeatedly, at least in Miami, to not have any further gambling, or not to expand gambling to other places. I have no problem with the Seminole or whatever Native American tribes are having expansion of their gambling facilities or their operations. But I'm concerned with, is it Gentry or Gentry?
Genting, yeah. It's a Malaysian Genting company that bought the former Miami Herald property,
right,
on the bayfront.
Giving any other location gambling in Miami. I'm seeing the legislature, as the Herald reported recently, as subverting the will of the people. We vote over and over again, and we have Florida Power and Light writing the rules for solar installation.
Right.
We have people.
Ray, you're bringing up a great point, and certainly that's about some of the statewide amendments and how the legislature absorbs some of those. But to this issue, Ray, we appreciate it. To the issue of local decision making and local votes, when it comes to gambling, Doug, I know that years ago, back in the late 70s, for instance, Miami Beach voted against wanting gambling there. And some of these votes can date back decades and decades and decades, but economics have changed considerably then. As you look at this gambling expansion, what's the voice and the financial implications for local governments in this debate that the state legislature is having.
Top contributor to county races is Turnberry, owner of the Fontainebleau, right? So that's a major interest. They're one of the ones that started this pursuit of casino gambling in Miami-Dade. So certainly they've got interest there. And, you know, if the bill grants one casino in Miami-Dade, I mean, is that going to last for 10 years? You know, who knows?
The nose of the camel's under the tent. Is Miami-Dade going to be satisfied with only one casino when it sees potentially the financial windfall that could come into local governments, or the pressure that lobbyists put on to expand even further?
I mean, during the last economic crisis, the Fontainebleau flirted with bankruptcy.
Right.
We reported on that.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's hard to say yes once in these things generally. So that's an interest. But is my memory correct? Miami-Dade approved in a referendum gambling for the paramutuals, right? That was one of the requirements.
For the racetracks and highway. So, that's right. That's right.
You know, so, I mean, what's that tell you about the public will towards gambling?
Some of the mixed messages here. Regan McCarthy, reporter from WFSU News, our sister station in Tallahassee, covering this. You know, one of the other parts that strikes me, Regan, is the legislative session, House members especially, have been very vocal to oppose Governor Scott and his efforts to push money for economic incentives and job incentives and tourism marketing, saying that the state legislature and the state government should not be in the business of picking winners. But yet in the gaming and the gambling legislation here, seems to me that to some degree that's exactly what they're trying to do with the racetracks and the rules around greyhound racing and horse racing and some of the rules around what types of casinos can have what types of card games.
Yeah, I think the way you look at that largely depends on who you're talking to. Like with the issue of decoupling, I think some people would say, hey, when we let these racetracks add card rooms to what they're doing with their live races, you know, that was something they said would really help them out. And now if we let them, you know, just operate those card rooms and we don't require them to continue racing, you know, is that fair? Are we, you know, giving them some kind of unfair, you know, way to get ahead? But on the other hand, I think people would say, you know, that's the market. The market is no longer supporting greyhound racing. It's no longer, you know, a lucrative form of business. And instead of imposing rules on these racetracks, let's let the market decide and let's let them, you know, try to make their business in the best way they can. So I think there's a way to see both sides of that issue, certainly.
Dara, some strange bedfellows here. Animal rights activists for years have been lobbying the state legislature to get rid of greyhound racing and horse racing here. And one of the gambling expansion pieces of legislation would allow those paramutuals, those racetracks, to do just that, but still remain in the gambling business.
Yeah, that was something that the House was less friendly towards initially. They just backed off that yesterday in their latest offer. I don't know if now's a good time to talk about just sort of like where we're at this point in the session. It's kind of interesting because I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to join you for the call. For the show, because the legislators were supposed to meet again in conference sometime this afternoon on gambling, and apparently that's not going to happen today. So that might be an indication that these talks have not, they've been meeting since they started conferencing. It's what we call when they start negotiating publicly. They started meeting a couple days ago, and the House made an offer, the Senate made an offer, however, somebody made an offer, and the other one came back. So we are where we are, and now everything is kind of on hold. And I'm told from the lobbyists that I've talked to that the biggest source of contention right now is the issue of who gets slot machines and where. And that is those eight counties. The House does not want to have that expansion of slot machines. This is what I'm told. Mm-hmm. And whoever it was that said that, the speaker at the beginning of the session said, hey, yeah, we're good with this. The speaker, I've also been told, has changed his mind several times about where he stands on this issue.
That was Doug Hanks, their partner of the Miami
repeating
Herald.
Repeating what Genting told me.
Reporting what a Genting lobbyist told him.
Right. So anyway, that is a real pressure point of who's going to get slots and where, and what will the Seminoles take? What will they be willing to accept? So that's where we are right now. I just wanted to let everybody know.
I appreciate that. Always having our compass pointed forward here. A couple of messages from our listeners. Ed in Plantation, who says that he works in Miami, asking about is Miami-Dade County ready for a casino? Yes. Ed says he texts us, provided a significant portion of the public revenues returned to the local community. Angel in Homestead writing, not a good thing. Gambling is another addiction we don't need to encourage in our county. It doesn't bring good to our citizens, only the owners, who are unlikely to heavily be invested in our county. You can consider and continue that conversation on social media. At WLRN is our Twitter handle, talking about the potential for expanded gambling in South Florida and in the Sunshine State. Regan McCarthy is along with us from WFSU. Regan, we appreciate your time today and expertise covering this legislative issue. Thank you for your time. Dara Kam with News Service of Florida, stick with us. Doug Hanks with the Miami Herald, stick with us as well. Coming up after the break, tearing down the liquor wall in Florida. And electric customers here in South Florida paying for natural gas fracking in Oklahoma. More as the last week of the legislative session is looking at us in one more week.